WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Bells tolling in church towers across Rome and at St. Peter's Square after the announcement that Pope Francis has died at the age of 88. ABC's Terry Moran has more.
The world is mourning the loss of Pope Francis.
Fratelli e sorelle, con profondo dolore.
The Vatican making the announcement that the leader of the 1.3 billion Catholics around the world had passed away at the age of 88. The Pontiff was hospitalized recently for pneumonia. The Vatican later revealed that his condition had worsened and that he was being treated for bilateral pneumonia.
After a brief period during which the Pope will be buried, cardinals from around the world will gather for the conclave where they will choose the next Pope.
This is the most important thing that they do. So many cardinals are bishops and archbishops and run dioceses, but once you become a cardinal, your main role is not only to advise the Pope, but to elect the next one.
Father James Martin, this is ABC News. The Trump administration calling on the Supreme Court to change its mind after justices temporarily blocked the deportation of more migrants under the Wartime Act the White House has been using. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio has more.
A legal standoff between the Supreme Court and the White House. The Trump administration is asking the court to reverse an order issued just after midnight Saturday that blocked the deportation of Venezuelan migrants accused of gang ties. The migrants held in Texas were targeted for deportation under the Alien Enemies Act, a wartime law from 1798 that grants broad deportation powers. Only two justices dissented, Justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, who said the late-night ruling was neither necessary or appropriate.
The other seven justices, however, ruling the standard may not have been met for non-citizens to be given a reasonable amount of time to challenge their removal before being deported from the United States. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Hey, Jim, have you checked out Pickle and Bags in Oshkosh yet?
No, what's that, Johnny?
Oh, it's an awesome place. Four indoor pickleball courts that can be booked 24-7, plus leagues, tournaments, private and group lessons for all skill levels.
Okay, that sounds like a party place.
Oh, it is, and it's not just for pickleball. They have the most dynamic venue in the valley with a full bar so you can host corporate outings, birthday and retirement parties, live bands, even weddings.
I could throw a party there and play pickleball all day?
Absolutely. Check it all out at pickleandbags.com or on Facebook.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers clobber the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers had a season-high 16 hits on the way to a 14-1 win over the A's. Milwaukee stole 9 bases in the game, 6 of them in just one inning, both franchise records. The Brewers' Sal Frelick.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that every team and every catcher thinks that, like, whether we're stealing or not, just being at first base or second base, the pitcher and catcher thinking about you is a success.
Manager Pat Murphy.
I think that's one of the ways we win. You know, we win by collecting hits, taking walks, stealing bases, having the threat to steal, which gives you a better pitch to hit sometimes. And that's one of the ways we can beat you.
The Crew in San Fran tonight against the Giants. NBA, Bucks getting ready for game 2 tomorrow night after losing 117-98 Saturday to the Pacers.
I think we were late. We didn't have enough urgency. Going to game 2, hopefully we can improve that or we can change that. We'll see. But going to game 2, we're going to be better.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The new Star Wars film officially has a title, and it's called Star Wars Starfighter. The film's lead actor will be Ryan Gosling, and it will be directed by Sean Levy, whose previous credits include, well, pretty much everything. Levy has directed the recent smash Deadpool and Wolverine, all three Night at the Museum films, and executive produced Stranger Things. Gosling's last big film was The Fall Guy, so I'm sure he's eager to wash that taste out of his mouth. Star Wars Starfighter hits theaters May 28th of 2027. There is something about podcasts that seems to help celebrities open up. Emilio Estevez recently appeared on the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast, Host Josh Horowitz asked The Outsiders actor what the worst note he ever got from a director was. Estevez says on the set of St. Elmo's Fire, director Joel Schumacher screamed at the top of his lungs, "Have a good bleeping time." Estevez says Schumacher was a bully and wildly insecure. He also made a very mediocre Batman movie. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be breezy, cloudy, with scattered showers likely today. The showers will end, and we will clear a little bit by late this afternoon with a high today in the upper 40s to low 50s. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop into the low to mid 30s tomorrow. A mix of clouds and sun with a few sprinkles here and there, and a high in the low to mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll review the weekend news, and Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media Sports Director, will be here to talk about changes coming to the WIAA. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here. 7:06, sunny, good-looking Monday morning at 97.9 FM. WGBW 98.3 and 96.5 FM WISS, and of course the Civic Media app. 44 degrees in Green Bay, 45 in Appleton, 46 in Oshkosh. Forecast cloudy with showers, high in the low 50s. But as Brittany Merlot said, there's going to be some nice weather coming up. Mm-hmm. Got to deal with a few little rain showers and things like that, it looks like. But otherwise, it's going to be a great week.
Looks like those rain showers are going to be through, like, the night. I don't think they're going to be like during the peak times. Sounded like with her.
Yeah,
so I
agree.
Think we're going to be all right.
But again, she wasn't saying 38 degrees and 40 mile an hour winds like is what we've had very recently here. Get a text here. I'd love to see Green Bay move way up to take Travis Hunter. He can play wide receiver of defensive back. Tired of Goody going for the boring linemen or DBs that don't pan out. There's no way they'll get Travis Hunter. It would be phenomenal to have him. But he is going to be probably the second player taken in the entire draft, and Packers would have to forfeit pretty much everything to move up that high.
You know, there hasn't been, again, from a layperson, it didn't seem like a lot of chatter about that because the draft is taken over.
About who they're drafting?
Yeah.
I agree.
I just like, but when you're drafting, asked me three people, I would be like,
I know.
I don't know.
But when you're drafting 23rd.
It's not that exciting anyway.
You know what I mean? It's pretty tough.
But is there chatter of trading up and all that?
There always is chatter, and but again, when you're drafting that low, you really got to pull off, you know, some big moves. I remember when I was a kid, it was like the biggest. We're like, oh my god! Does anybody else remember when the Packers made the trade with Chicago Bears? I want to say for the second pick,
oh wow,
overall in the draft, and they gave the Bears. I remember Elijah Pitts, Leroy Caffey. And I think Bob Hyland, if I'm not mistaken, somebody help me out on this one, in order to get Mike McCoy, the big defensive lineman from Notre Dame, who was going to be, he was almost like the Tony Mandarich of his day, although a nicer guy, I shouldn't say nicer guy, Tony was a nice guy, but he was almost like the Tony Mandarich of his day in that he was so hyped. You know, cover of Sports Illustrated, cover of some other mag, cover, he was that guy. And he turned out to be very, very average. Yeah. But when we're talking about guys being drafted in the draft and where, we've got the guru, the editor of Lindy Sports Pre-Draft Magazine, 2025 draft guide, which you can buy at Boss's News on Broadway Street in downtown De Pere. It is the literal Bible of this draft. Dean Bruce, good morning. Thank you for taking the time to join Mino and the Mayor here in Green Bay, Appleton, and Oshkosh.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you today?
Outstanding. How are you? Now, we already, okay. You know, these crazy things are happening. You know, we're talking about how far up can they move to get a Travis Hunter. How far, that's all part of the fun of heading into a draft. And I just have to say, though, I was talking about when I was a little kid, the Packers did a big trade to draft a guy by the name of Mike McCoy out of Notre Dame, who didn't pan out, yada, yada. Boy, people can get so excited about moving up. But if you go through history, a lot of those didn't pan out. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, you've got some examples like the Zach Wilson, or not even the Zach Wilson trade, the Trey Lance trade. That was one of the hallmark big trades of the decade. That one hasn't panned out at all. The Bryce Young trade, moving up to get him, I mean, that's just completely not panned out. I mean, there's just been a history, especially with the quarterback position.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think that's very likely this year. I don't think anyone's moving up for Shador, but I think it's difficult to get those guys, especially in the first round, to trade up for them. I think it often doesn't work out as often as you want to.
Exactly.
And you're losing capital.
Right.
Dean, I'm always curious, is in the war room, you know, you've got, well, here in Green Bay, right, it's Ed Policy, of course, obviously, the coach,
Goody.
Murphy, Goody. What that can't all be unanimous. Like, at the end of the day, who puts their foot down, says this is it?
I mean, it's going to be the general manager for the most part. I mean, the coach always has a little bit of hand in this. I'm sure Mike McCarthy will get some talk in about what he wants to do. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be the Packers GM. I believe Goody is going to be able to, you know, put his foot down and be like, hey, this is our guy. This is who we're going after. I wouldn't be shocked if it's a pass catcher this year. I think getting Jordan Love more weapons is going to be a big priority for them. But it could also be secondary. I know they lost a lot of guys this year. I think it's going to be interesting. I don't know if there's anyone I'd want to move up for either of those positions. The depth is so strong at cornerback. Mm. And about where y'all are picking, I think wide receiver is not out of play.
Dean, I got to be honest with you, man. I've covered the Packers since 1984, and I don't know if there's ever been a year where we went into a draft where we didn't say, we got to get some wide receivers for Lynn Dickey, for Brett Favre, for Aaron Rodgers, for Jordan Love. That's been going on for years and years and years. And I swear every year Packer fans are all excited, and it's from Iowa State offensive lineman Joe Blow. And it's like, you know, you need those people. But just that excitement part. Yeah. Boy, you want that guy that you know something about and you've read about in your magazines and things like that. That's a big part of this whole thing, is that entertainment value. Wouldn't you say, Dean?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, there's always going to be higher projections. There's always going to be guys who really pound the table for these pass catchers, for these running backs, for these guys who, you know, score the touchdowns. But, I mean, Gutekunst has historically built in the trenches and built on that back end of the defense, and that is something that often wins championships. I mean, look at how the Lions set themselves up. Yeah. They built that great offensive line, and now they're Super Bowl contenders perennially. And I think it could be fine either way. I think Love needs weapons, but I also think Love needs a good foundation to build off of. He can't do all the work himself. He's a great quarterback, but he's not the only guy on the field, you know?
Absolutely. Do you think there's going to be any surprises? It seems like teams have gotten a little more conservative over the years. Like, I mean, they invest so much time, so much effort, so many miles, so many hours to really study these guys, to the minutiae of these guys. But it's one of those things, you know, that all when they really got their heart set on the guy, it takes a real sweetheart deal to move off of some of these guys, especially at the last minute. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to see any big-time trade-ups in the top 10. I mean, this is the first year in, what, like 30 years that we haven't had a first-round trade before the draft has started. It just seems like this is a really good depth class, and but it's not as packed with that top-end talent. I wouldn't expect to see many trade-downs or trade-ups, if any, in that first round, just based on how much that depth class is stacked. And people are going to want to get these, you know, maybe it's not a star on their team, but they're going to get, like, some solid low-end to mid-tier starters throughout the draft. And I don't see a lot of teams willing to part ways with those picks.
You know, and these are expensive days for these teams. I mean, this whole salary cap thing. What do you think about carving out the quarterback, having that be really not part of the salary cap, letting that be a separate entity and then having salary caps for the rest of the team? I mean, that's been
talked about.
Yeah. Huh? Dean?
I think it's an interesting strategy for sure. I mean, you have to consider the quarterback in the cards, but I mean, if you have a star quarterback like Mahomes, they gave all that money to Mahomes, and it's worked out perfectly for him. They've been in the Super Bowl like what, 4 out of 5 last 5 years. If you gotta pay these stud quarterbacks, what do you want to give them? But it is something you have to consider, because otherwise you end up like the Saints in cap hell, where
right,
you don't have the money to pay for these top end quarterbacks. Even if you get one on a rookie contract, he's going to be out 5 years on his deal. Like, right, you got to make sure you're paying attention. But I do understand if you've got that star, like the Mahomes, like the Hurts, like guys who can take you to those championships, carving out a hole for them. I understand it.
Obviously, Dean, you know pretty much every player that's out there that's going to be drafted this year. Just in watching the Packers possibly casually, you know, the way you have it being in Philly, you only got to see them twice last year. If you were going against the Packers, you know, if you scouted the Packers and saw their flaws, what would you say they needed?
Sorry, let's see. Could you repeat that? I am not hearing you.
Oh, I'm sorry. You still there? Dean? Oh, we lost you? Whoop. We lost Dean? Oh, phone went down? All right. Okay, we'll get back to him. Dean Bruce from Lindy Sports, the guru of the NFL draft guide. Those are always fun to read. Actually, you know what's a lot more fun? Because I save those. I've got those from years past. It's fun reading about some guys who are so hyped and then just...
I was going to ask him about the marketing side of it. And when do they start? And do they hire people to do that?
Oh,
like,
God.
Like Tony Mandarich, remember? I think he was on, what was it, Jay Leno or was it Johnny Carson? I
mean, whatever. Letterman.
Oh, Letterman. Just unbelievable. You know, like you said, it just didn't pan out. How much of that, or does that really affect it? Does it?
Nowadays, everybody's got it. Tony was one of the first people ever to have an entourage, so to speak.
I remember
And
that.
One of the biggest guys with Tony, and he was his brother, who kind of steered him the wrong way. I don't know if that's going on anymore. Dean, you back there, buddy?
Yes, sorry about that.
No,
I think
we've
been having some phone problems this morning.
No problem. Dean Bruce, Lindy Sports Magazine. We were just talking about the overhype of some guys over the year. Dean, do you think that, you know, like we're talking about Tony Mandarich, who's actually a really great friend of ours. He comes on the show. I used to hang out with him, all those things. He's genuinely a really nice guy.
Oh, yeah, Michigan State.
Yeah. Do you think guys actually do hurt themselves in those pre-draft interviews? Or do you think that's a little bit BS and it's like, hey, if this guy runs a 4.28 and he might be a little bit of a whatever, versus some guy that runs a 4.6 that otherwise, they're going to still take that 4.28 guy, aren't they? I mean, they overlook some warts. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, there are teams that really play into their interviews. Like, I think the Bengals really take a lot of interviews into account, although it didn't work with that Jermaine Burton fella. But there's a lot of teams that take interviews into account. But the teams that tend to succeed, the Chiefs and, like, the Lions and stuff like that, they've taken guys with these character concerns in the past, and it's worked out for them because at the end of the day, a lot of these guys are just here to play football. They're trying to get a team that, you know, can beat these corners down the field with their speed. They can beat these guys with their strength. If you're going to get a stronger, faster player and you think you can manage some of those character concerns, you take them because that's going to make you a better football squad. It's not always about personality for these guys.
Who do you, Dean, we have 2 minutes here before we send it to a quick break. Who do you see, you know, obviously Mel Kiper has made a career out of, you know, doing what he does, but there have been so many more that have come after him. Who do you give a lot of credibility to?
Oh, in the draft, I love Todd McShay. I think Mel Kiper is one of the, like, legends of the game. I love Dane Brugler's The Beast. He's sort of, you know, supercharged our Lindy's guy, like, sort of a guy I take a lot of inspiration from when I'm making my journalism, like, my Lindy's guide is his Beast articles. He just does them so perfectly. I always trust Dane Brugler. I'll watch Mel Kiper when he's on. He has his misses, but he's been in the game for so long, you got to respect it. And probably Todd McShay. I mean, he's just a great guy. He's just been an inspiration for a lot of scouting columns. So I think those three are who I look out for when projecting because they seem to know what's up, and they seem to always, you know, have a finger on the pulse.
Dean Bruce, can you stick around for 1 minute? We've got some more questions about the draft. It's the last shot we got at somebody like you. Is that cool?
Yeah, sounds good.
Outstanding. Dean Bruce, Lindy Sports Draft Guide, the preview located at Boss's down on Broadway in Green Bay. If you got any questions for him, you text them to us. We got more with him right after this. This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
This update sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Fans, here is the Quick Trip to the Ballpark ticket offer. Spend $200 at participating Quick Trip locations and get a free Terrace Reserve ticket to a 2025 Milwaukee Brewers home game. Check brewers.com/quicktrip for more details. join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And Inner City Sound is holding a benefit concert for Mountains of Hope on Saturday, April 26th from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. This concert will feature live music from three different well-known performers, artist meet and greets, and a suggested donation tip jar to raise money for Mountains of Hope's sober living community. So mark your calendars and get ready to dance for a great cause. Go to WISS.FM and click events to find out more.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
It's a celebration.
Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM. Coming your way from Appleton and Oshkosh, and of course, the Civic Media app worldwide. So we're going back to Philadelphia. Dean Bruce, Lindy Sports Draft Preview Magazine. It is the Bible for their draft coming up this week.
So, Dean, are you here? Are you coming in for this?
I'm still here. I'm right here.
No, mate, he means in Green Bay. Are you coming to Green Bay?
Oh, of course not. I can't make it out there. I'd love to. I'm going to be at the draft in Pittsburgh next year. But
I guess.
I'd love to be there.
Okay, I didn't know. What do you think about it coming to Green Bay, this whole rotation thing? And we're a little bummed that not the first – some of these guys aren't going to be here.
Only 16. Does that seem low, Dean?
It's a little low. I think it's because there's a lot of uncertainty in that quarterback position. We saw Jackson Dart drop out of – being in attendance for the draft early, and he would have been nice to come to Green Bay. And Shedeur Sanders is staying home with his family.
Right.
And a lot of those flashy guys they want are quarterbacks.
Right.
Do you think these guys are going to, like, is this going to evolve to where they have their own little parties in their own towns? They
do, but, Jim, I'll tell you something. I think it's because some of the guys don't want to be embarrassed. Wouldn't you agree, Dean?
Oh, 100%. That's why Jackson Dart dropped out. I think he got word that he wasn't going to be picked in the first round, and I think he was like, well, I don't want to be that guy who gets posted on Twitter stuck in the green room.
And you feel sorry for him. You just got to.
And it never goes away.
It just, oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Like I was telling the story the other day, Brady Quinn's sister became a really great friend of mine, of all of ours. She did a lot of things for charity here and, of course, married to A.J. Hawk. And I joked with her one time where it's like, I remember when you know, it's close on the Lions are on the clock. Boy, Brady Quinn, a lot of rumors. He's going, and his girlfriend was like sitting right next to him, cuddled up. You didn't get tried then. She was a little further away, and then a little further away, and then all of a sudden she wasn't in the picture anymore.
And she's, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But what, Dean, heading into something like this, you give me some guys, you put together a great draft guide. You tell us guys to look for that might go up or might go down.
Might go up. I would say James Pierce Jr. I know there's been some character concerns about him, but he ran a 4.43 at the combine, something like that, as an edge rusher. He's a little light in the pants, but I think he's one of those guys who those moves, the pass rush moves, are just so impeccable, and his speed, he wins so quickly. I think he could be a pretty consistent late, like, riser into that mid-first round. Another guy who I have my eyes on as a riser, I would say, is Jaden Higgins, an Iowa State wide receiver. He's a big-bodied guy who still gets separation, really good with the contested catches, but he's fast enough to where it's not like, you know, we're not thinking about some of those, like, I'm trying to think of, like, Kevin White and stuff like that. Like, the big draft bust, the big tall guys who tend to bust are, he's a little different from them because he's still got that separation. A guy who I think may be trending downward,
I think you'll see Shedeur Sanders fall a little further than expected. I think at points he was drafted in the top 10, but I think he's probably going to land somewhere in the 20s, maybe even a trade up in the back half of the first.
Wow.
I just don't know if his arm strength is. I don't know if his arm strength is there. He's got the NFL bloodline, he's got the accuracy, but teams love a big arm, and he just doesn't quite have it.
What about as far as just the whole package that comes with it? Like Dion was saying that there's some cities he doesn't want to play in, and this and that. Turning people off?
I think maybe. I mean, it's how we talk about with those interviews. If he's a guy who you love his traits, you love his accuracy, but you don't want to always have that family package. You don't want to see Coach Prime breathing down your neck as a head coach. So you might be inclined to fight against him just to save your job because he's a right. You don't want that attached to your name. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if some teams were fighting against him because they don't want the circus around it. I mean, New York media, especially, like, I think that's part of why the Giants aren't as high on them as maybe he could be.
So you cover this, and you cover it in great detail. Do you stick around to the end? Are you these last guys? I always, you know, for those of us who are runners but not real good runners, it's always nice to see the guy finish, you know, the marathon, you know, towards the end in the five and a half hours. Do you stay? Do you cover these guys at the end? The last, was it go to 300?
Was it 323?
Yeah, 256, I think, okay, somewhere 56. This year. Okay.
So you cover those last six guys?
Yeah, I'll watch them all. I mean, I've had to watch them all for this magazine. We did a little bit of a split this year, but I think I covered around 150 guys, and not all those guys are going to be the top 150. So I might as well stick around, see some of the guys that I fell in love with, who maybe the NFL isn't as in on, go in that like sixth, seventh round. I mean, it's part of my life. It's a big passion of mine and one of my top hobbies. So I might as well see it through. You know,
and
I'm excited for Green Bay to have that experience too. Get to stick around, see it for that full 72 hours.
We got a safety at Wisconsin, I think, could turn out to be a sleeper.
Oh yeah, Hunter Woller. I am exactly in your boat. Yeah, I think he's very good. I think he's a great player. I think he's very instinctual. He's got some really great tackling reps. There's another guy from Wisconsin I liked, Joe Huber, an offensive guard. I think you could look out for his name to be called in the sixth or seventh, and he might surprise you. He's got some really good strength. Awesome. He's got some of that Wisconsin farm boy strength. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and those are the kids that have made it big. It's those big linemen like that. Like we had one a couple of years ago, Bartolini from Wisconsin, from right here in Kewaunee, and he was a great pickup for the Colts.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was an incredible athlete.
So number one thing we're winding down here, but Dean, heading into this, it's an old saying that your grandpa goes, but are your juices still flowing when you go into this? Or is it more of, it's what I do for a living and this is that? I got a feeling you get pretty pumped for this.
Sounds pretty wound up. Yeah.
Oh, I get pretty pumped. I mean, it's one of the biggest sports events of the year for me. It may be the biggest sports event of the year for me. It's my Super Bowl. I mean, I do a lot of work for it. I do a lot of work writing down these players and all that. But, you know, it's the culmination of all that. It's the culmination of all this hard work, and it makes my blood flow. I mean, I hate to admit it, but I might care about it more than the Super Bowl some years, depending on who's in it.
I got to just throw one more at you. Cam Ward.
Number one pick, easy. I think lock it in. And I think he's going to be a good number one pick. His confidence and poise is just impeccable. You can't pass up on a guy who can sling it that far with pressure in his face. He's going to be battle tested in the NFL, and he's going to do great with it.
Travis Hunter
also great. Should play two ways. If he's not playing two ways, you're misusing him.
Another kid I really like. Two kids I really like. I don't hear much. Well, the running back from Boise State.
Ashton Juntie, walk him in as a Jaguar. I'm a Jaguars fan. I've been hearing we really like him.
And the running back from ASU, my alma mater.
Cam Scadaboo. Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably going to be around third round, maybe even second round type, but he's going to drag some guys with him. He's not the fastest, but he may have the best contact balance up there with Juntie.
And he'll be the guy you don't want to practice again because he'll stick you in the chest with his head every time.
Oh, God, it'll hurt playing against him. Don't worry about it.
Dean Bruce, you're awesome. How can we find all of your stuff?
You can find our YouTube channel. I've got a YouTube channel going called 2 Minute Drill. You can look me up there. You can also follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Dean Is Tired. And you can find the Lindy's Draft Guide in any bookstore near you. I know you've got a local bookstore that carries it.
Well, we're going to keep pumping that for you, buddy. Thank you so much for all your insight and taking the time. We truly appreciate it.
I'm happy to be here. Have a good one.
Thanks, buddy. Dean Bruce, Lindy Sports Draft Guru, Draft Guy, pick it up at Bosses in Deep Here. Quick break. Back right after this. Love isn't always on time.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Net and Air on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The latest milk production report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture comes out on Tuesday. The avian flu, or H5N1 virus, circulating in dairy cattle is still a part of the milk production conversation. One of the symptoms of the virus in dairy cows is that milk production is limited. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you on a Monday morning. This is the Midwest Farm Report. California and Idaho are the states with the largest detections of the virus in dairy cows in the last 30 days. Everegg dairy broker Cody Koster says it's something he pays attention to daily.
Yeah, I've had a few clients in different states that have gotten it for a second time now, and just about all of them that I've talked to have told me it's not as bad as the first time. The first time they were down anywhere from 15 to the most I heard was 30 pounds of fluid. They kind of came back from that. The butter, fat, and protein out of the cows was looking a lot better. They just said the second round is hit and the milk production isn't down as much. It's just kind of turning the cows a little bit more skinnier. The udder is starting to retract up a little bit. And so there is a little bit of a scare on that side.
Cody Koster is a dairy broker and analyst with Everegg with an update on the H5N1 virus circulating in dairy cows. Stick around for how markets are reacting after a three-day weekend. Next.
Giving back. It's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Markets are mixed to start a Monday morning. From Chicago, cash corn is up 3.25 cents at 4.85 and a half. December new crop corn up a penny and a half at 4.67 and a half. Soybeans are also trading higher. Cash beans up 4.25 at 10.40 and 3 quarters. November new crop beans up 3.5 cents, trading at 10.36 a bushel. But July new crop wheat is down a penny at 5.61 and a quarter. The May Class 3 milk contract is sitting neutral at 18.30 a hundredweight. The June contract is up 13 cents at 17.56. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be breezy, cloudy, with scattered showers likely today. The showers will end, and we will clear a little bit by late this afternoon with a high today in the upper 40s to low 50s. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop into the low to mid 30s tomorrow. A mix of clouds and sun with a few sprinkles here and there, and a high in the low to mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross, calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, good fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad lib to De Niro. He's like security, and you're like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And wow. Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll talk about the price of oil with Mr. Global and what that means for consumers. Hour number two, we'll talk about organ donation. I hope you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Overture Center in Madison discusses their new lineup. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. If the thing keeping you from going to the NFL draft near Lambeau Field this week is the drive, the traffic, and the thought of trying to park, the Fox Cities Convention and Visitors Bureau has the solution, said Pam Seidel, executive director of the CVB.
Everybody right. knows where Fox River Mall is. They've given us the whole section of their parking lot. We've got six coach buses, real easy trip up, you know, on both Thursday and Friday. And
the shuttle service will cost $60 round trip. To reserve your shuttle seat from the Fox River Mall to the draft and back, visit foxcities.org or see our story at wgbw.fm for links. One person died in an Easter fire in Oshkosh. Oshkosh fire officials say they were called to a structure fire on Burdick Street. In their initial search, one resident was found and taken to the local hospital where he was pronounced dead. The home had another resident, but they were not there at the time of the fire, which remains under investigation. Can AI help people with opioid addiction? Joanne Krulatz has that answer.
A new artificial intelligence tool developed by UW-Madison could streamline care for people battling opioid use. The AI tool was able to identify hospitalized adults at risk for opioid use disorder and recommend them to addiction specialists. The tool can scan clinical notes, medical history, and other health records in seconds for patterns associated with opioid use. A study funded by the National Institutes of Health and the National Institute on Drug Abuse used data from more than 51,000 hospitalized adults, 727 of whom completed addiction medicine consultations.
I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Special thanks to Dean Bruce from Lindy Sports, the 2025 Draft Guide. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, giving us that forecast for this coming week, which is okay. We will take it. And now we're being joined by Andrew Zimdar's GPS Education Partners. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Did I pronounce your last name correct? Yes or no?
Yes, you did.
All right. Zimdar's. I like that. What nationality is that? I'm going to say Dutch.
So we tracked it back. I believe it's Polish.
Oh, it is Polish.
Yeah, there's actually a town in Poland that's unincorporated that is Zimdar Z with an E on the end.
So, I was going to say, has that been changed then from the time you came over?
Someday I'll return in glory and go back to that city.
But there's a town in that name?
Yeah.
Well, you got to go back there, don't you?
Yeah.
How far back?
I don't. My grandpa actually grew up in De Pere. And has been here for a while, but I'm not sure how many generations back.
Have you done the genealogy type stuff?
My grandparents have, yeah. I'll have to unpack that someday.
I think that's cool, man. I'm fascinated by that stuff.
Andrew Zimdarski. So
yep.
Welcome. Yeah.
Welcome. So, Andrew, you were an educator, coach. You noticed in traditional education that it's, as much as we try, it's not for everyone.
Yeah, so my original training was as a teacher. I taught in a parochial school for a while with all the subjects, and then I was an English teacher for a while as well.
Which parochial school?
It was in Milwaukee, Risen Savior Lutheran, shout out if anybody down there is listening. But I was at Waukesha North as well, and you know, there were students in the classroom that, you know, as much as I tried to engage them, my English curriculum was never going to be their jam, right? And they wanted to work with their hands. They thrive in the tech ed shop classes. And so it was kind of always wondering, like, how do I reach those kids? And it wasn't until I found this program that I could kind of tangibly do that.
Yeah, I gotta give you a lot of credit for noticing that, because I do think there's kids that struggle, and that's they're smart kids. It's just not, like you said, their jam. It's not their thing. So
yep.
Tell me what you created and the acceptance.
Because I'm a huge advocate for what you're talking about, but go ahead.
Yeah. So our organization is 25 years old. It was founded by Generac back in 2000. with the idea that they were at that time in the Waukesha area trying to get more kids interested and engaged and exposed to careers in manufacturing, and wanting to do that at the high school age ranges so that as students graduated high school, they were ready to go into the careers and fill the talent pipeline that Generac had. Fast forward now, we're our own nonprofit, still very much supported by Generac, but the idea is changing the four walls of how kids see school and making it more engaging and relevant, and matching the career path these kids see. So what we do is we run what are called education centers, which are literally classrooms embedded within a manufacturing facility. And students then go to school with us part of the day. They get more of a technical curriculum and a career readiness.
Can I just
coaching.
Jump in on
yeah,
that?
Absolutely.
Just one quick thing about that. My era, Jim's era, okay, it was like, well, if you didn't go to a four-year college, you're not as cool as the rest of us. That has turned 180 degrees because now these tech schools, for one thing, have become so much more attuned to what we need out there in the real world that they've become so popular right now. And another caveat, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, cha-ching, 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 people are walking away with some really nice, well-paying jobs and careers. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah. So the career gap between teaching and what I'm doing now is I worked in higher ed for 8 years. And, you know, you can see student loan debt through the system. And it was shocking how much student loan debt was there. And, you know, as a millennial, we all went to college because that was the next thing you did.
Exactly.
And we went for the experience and then tried to figure out what we were going to do as part of that. And I think what we're trying to do, and a lot of educators are trying to do, is help students see that there's a path that doesn't have to involve going to a four-year college, technical college, or working right out of high school is very acceptable and still great paying jobs. And you can always go back to college if you
love
need
it.
To continue.
Love it.
And how eye-opening is it when someone does go to a four-year college and then goes to a technical school? After that, you know what I mean? And that happens.
To get a job.
Right. I mean, it does. That does happen. But your school, it's different because you're catching them earlier than all that minutia that they've gone through. So when they're a junior, do they apply to your program? Do you seek them out? Do you notice them when they're freshmen, sophomores, saying, hey, look, I take a look at this?
Yeah. So the schools we partner with in the Fox Cities, we work a lot with the counselors. And they tend to see students where there's an engagement or maybe attendance or just a struggle with traditional school. But those kids might be thriving in their shop classes, right? And so myself start to talk with those counselors and say, who are those students? Let's talk to them. And then the students apply. And then they'll start to enter the program their junior or senior year. Typically it's junior year for 2 years, and then they'll finish out their high school with us.
You know, okay, Greg. This is something, when I interviewed this lady one time, and she was living in Germany during World War II, and then the Russians came in, all right? They were just citizens, you know, just normal. The Russians came in, took all these girls, brought them to these camps, so to speak. And I thought, oh, my God, that's terrible. She goes, well, actually, it was kind of nice. I mean, we were fed. We were whatever, whatever. And then they gave them all kinds of tests, and whatever they were really scored highest on, they put them in schools for that. Her and her sister, by chance, were great singer, dancer, entertainers that – her entire career, her entire life was a singer and a dancer. Another kid was really good at math. He became an engineer. Now, again, we're talking about this. So I'm sitting here almost embracing the Soviet system of doing things in the 1940s. And I don't mean to come off weird in that way, but I thought that had a lot of merit. What do you think about that?
So when we get the students in the program, part of what we do is the other half of the day after they're done with their more technical curriculum with us at the education center is we place them in a youth apprenticeship. And we spend the first month to 2 months with these kids on what we call road to employability. And what that is we're trying to teach them employability skills for when they enter the workforce, what's going to be expected of them, how they're going to be successful. But the other part of it is really figuring out, like, what does that kid like to do? Where are their aptitudes, their interests? And then how does that match up with the businesses that we partner with, where we place them for youth apprenticeship, so that there's a good match there in terms of how they're wired and how they're going to be successful.
See, I think that's great.
As long as they get that well-rounded education, I agree that half, and you say half the day is spent in this track that we'll call it that, on technical skills.
Correct. Because
they're great at it in the school they're in now, and you really focus on that. But the other half, they still learn, you know, the history and English and things that I guess you just need, sciences, whether you're going to use that every day or not. You just need to know that to, just like I said, be part of the mainstream. These kids, then, do they then give up the band and sports, the extracurricular, or do you weave that into your program?
Great question. So what's really unique about our program is the schools that partner with us take on our curriculum as a pathway to graduation.
I just want to reintroduce you, Andrew. Andrew Zimnar's GPS Education Partners.
Correct.
Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah. So when the students enter the program, they maintain their status at their home high school. So when they graduate, they get their diploma from the high school that's sponsoring them. And so as part of that, they maintain their ability to do sports, extracurriculars. In fact, we encourage that because we want them to continue to maintain that connection to the home high school and the activity.
Whole social aspect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Candidly, for a lot of our students, they just want to be kind of done with traditional school and just enter the workforce and do that part of it. But for those students where, you know, sports or whatever it might be still are really important to them, we work around that schedule to make sure they can still do those things.
So these kids, I think this is great. I mean, they're learning something they like. And if you like something, you're going to learn it better. I mean, it's common sense. Then an internship comes with it as well?
Yep. So the youth apprenticeship, we partner with businesses that see a match with the mission and the model of what we're trying to do. And then also kind of want that matchmaking process of finding that the kid that they're getting for the youth apprenticeship is the right fit for what they're looking for. And then as part of the program, everything that's happening in the classroom, we would like for them to see in the job, right? So there's kind of a holistic learning there. And then vice versa, everything that's happening on the job, we want to actively communicate with those businesses on what's going on so that we can then coach and teach that in the classroom too. So perfect example, we'll hear a lot of times from the businesses we partner with that, you know, students' shift starts at 8 o'clock and they're showing up at 8 o'clock. So then in the classroom, we're coaching them on, hey, you know, you need to be clocked in at 7:50 so that you're at your station by 8 o'clock to start working. So those are the relationships we have with the businesses to learn what's going on.
May I just ask this gently?
Absolutely.
Again, I'm not throwing out the generation X's or Y's or millennial, but something has happened a little bit over the years where younger kids, not saying all of them, but in general, great kids, super kids, but sometimes there just seems to be a little bit of a laissez-faire attitude towards that other job. Am I correct?
It's funny, as I've gotten older.
I'm being gentle in asking that question.
As I've gotten older, I've started, you know, making comments and I'm like, oh man, I'm that get off my lawn guy.
Yeah.
Right. But I think with everything, we have to remember, and I have to remind myself that these are 16, 17, 18 year old kids. They don't know what they don't know. We have years and years of experience professionally and with life and whatnot. And so part of this program that's awesome is it's a way, low stakes way for kids to practice and learn.
And I think one reminder can do it. I think sometimes, you know, we're talking.
Well, that's why a good internship. We've both a good internship is as valuable as anything.
Right, and so we always say there's no bad kids. Maybe some bad parents out there, but they have to learn this from someone. And whether you or the internship or what you're teaching them these soft skills, you know, they know the technical things. I want to talk about these kids that graduate. Are they then encouraged to go on for another 2 years? I think that's really important because there's a lot of statistics that if you go for 2 years, you got benefits, you're going to make more money. High school graduation is great, but that's really just the first step.
Yeah. So this time of year, this is a perfect time of year to talk about this. We are starting to have those active coaching conversations with our students about where they're at and, you know, is their business going to offer them a full-time job? You know, a few years ago, it was a guarantee. It's not necessarily a guarantee that every company has openings right now. So that's part of the coaching, right? But as part of that, we then start to get them to think about, okay, staying at that business, you've built up some attendance and skill set at that business. So let's stay there. But then let's also think about going on and continuing your education at the technical college, maybe being a registered apprentice, that kind of thing.
Okay, Andrew Zimnar's GPS Education Partners. Can you stick around? We got more. I want to know if somebody was in high school right now or parents listening, how do I get involved with this program? What's the grassroots aspect of it? And go from there, cool?
And the 8 communities that you're serving right now.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that.
Perfect.
All right. Outstanding. Andrew Zimnar's GPS Education Partners. are also known as Zimdarski for our friends listening in Poland. Back after this. To find you with the working
girls in the county jail. Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM Oshkosh Air Support.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Could coal make a comeback in Wisconsin? Pollution and high costs have pushed utilities to start shutting down coal plants across the state. But the Trump administration has announced emergency orders to boost coal, including offering power plants a two-year exemption from requirements to reduce emissions of toxic chemicals like mercury, arsenic, and benzene. April 22nd marks the 55th anniversary of Earth Day. Back in 1970, Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson called for an environmental day of action that inspired 20 million Americans to take to the streets and demand protections from environmental contamination. Less than 8 months later, Congress created the EPA. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here on a good-looking Monday morning. It is draft week, of course, throughout Northeast Wisconsin. Andrew Zimdar's GPS Education Partners here. Very interesting stuff. Jim, take it and run.
And what Andrew works on is... Would you say eight school districts you're involved in?
Eight sites that we have in Wisconsin.
Eight sites. Yep. And what he does is, you know, you may have a student that's freshman, sophomore, and just struggling a little bit, yet when he goes into other classes that are a little bit more technical, he just thrives and just, or she, just loves it. And so you've got this school now where you can take the last 2 years in your, I guess it's without walls, and they learn more technical education, and plus they learn the other curricular activities as well. Tell me, give me an example of a student that you met with the counselor and thought she should be with you versus another,
and your focus
and another 2 years of
getting a career that, you know, they enjoy, that, you know, they got the right chromosomes or whatever geared towards that thing. I love that.
Looking forward to school.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's not really a one size fits all kind of label for students. It could be a student that is doing fantastic in school, but really is super disengaged and just kind of coasting and doesn't want to be there. It could also be a student that's really struggling with attendance, you know, GPA, all that stuff. But the kind of common theme is that school, they don't see the why behind school, right? The engagement, the relevancy is just not there. And there's a potential that there could be some, you know, kind of falling off the tracks and maybe graduation is a little bit in question. So typically, those are the
students.
But
yet they've still got skills,
yes,
that can be
100%.
Used.
You see them at home. They tinker with stuff. They're working on their car, whatever, their truck. And you can clearly see they have an intelligence that shines through in a different way.
Or in software or something where they're smarter than – they're just not doing the traditional things, right?
Correct.
I mean, because you have that 18% disengagement. I don't really call it dropout, but – on both the high end and the low end, you know what I mean? It's,
yep,
just, we have to address that, and your program does that. So you just talk through one of your sites and how successful it is.
Yeah, I would say another big key is, for us, we really focus on work. So a student has to be motivated by the idea of work, getting exposed to work, making money, and all everything that goes into that. A lot of our kids would rather be at work than at school. And so if that's something that is kind of a characteristic of theirs, they might be a good fit. So in the Fox Cities, our site is at Menasha Packaging in Neenah. We have a classroom there, and the students will spend 3 hours of their day learning the curriculum there and doing their stuff for graduation. And then we will place them in a business somewhere in the Fox Cities with a match to their skill set and interests.
I love it. Love it. Like if somebody wanted to be a welder.
Yep. So manufacturing, construction, automotive, skilled trades, those technical jobs, that's our key demographic of businesses.
I will say one thing, you're going to throw the automotive thing. You got to be so sharp and attuned to that. I mean, like my brother's garage where I grew up, it's like you change somebody's spark plugs or whatever. Nowadays, I wouldn't touch a thing under a hood. And these kids have to be so technically adapt for that, don't they?
Yeah. And I got to give a shout out.
They can make big money.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to Bergstrom Automotive. They've been a great partner of ours and have opened up their doors to allow our kids to come in and be youth apprentices and learn the automotive trade. And we continue to see a huge number of kids that come in that want to learn that industry. And they've just been an awesome partner and supporter in allowing that opportunity for our kids.
And I'm going to say it, kids from my high school, you know, auto shop, you always thought of them as the hoods at the time, okay? And they were the kids that, you know, didn't pay attention or whatever, didn't. And you open up that hood, and all of a sudden magic happens. This same kid that couldn't diagram a sentence, or didn't want to, he could, like, overhaul that engine.
Especially when he's working on that division with the Porsches, the Mercedes.
Yeah, Bergstrom, yeah. But you know what I'm saying? It's just you got, you know,
yeah,
color well, God or whomever. Everybody is wired differently.
Yep. Yeah. And the beauty of...
It's not one size fits all.
The beauty of work-based learning is somebody can change an oil in isolation by themselves, right? But the beauty of work-based learning is you are literally on a job site where now there's time, efficiency, other people you're working with, having to get along, work as a team. All those experiences cannot be taught unless you actually experience them. And so when our students go in and they get those opportunities, it's a really huge life-changing and growth opportunity for students early on that they can then take into their adult years.
And you're in a professional environment.
Correct.
And I think that's a really important point that you're making right now is working as a team, be it your, no matter what field you're in, medical, anything, and even where I'm at, they have to do a team project, and many, many students will come and say, look, I want to just do this on my own. It's like, no, that's not what we do here. You've got, you know, because people are different, different nationalities, and you got to learn to work together. I think that's great. Those kids are learning that at, 16, 17 years old.
Yeah, and we actually started this year a program where we took our kids through a personality assessment. And so part of that was to teach them what they're really good at and their skill sets, and then maybe where their gaps are. And how other parts of the team can help fill those gaps for them.
Just in knowing us, just was like this was first interview today. What would you put him towards and recommend me towards?
I think you're doing what you need to be doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's BSing for a living.
Yeah, exactly.
50 years of BSing for
I think
a living.
You might, Andrew. You might talk too much on the job floor and might not get a lot done. So I think you're doing, you're right.
I got to be honest. When I was a summer student at Iron Ore Mines up in the UP, and all the different people had different colored helmets. Like a summer student, you have a white helmet with green stripes to let people know he's, you know, inexperienced. And electricians were yellow or blue or whatever. Everybody had to. And the bosses were green. And then there's this other one, which was this other color I'd never seen before. So I assumed it was a salesperson. And they would come on and they'd just give my helmet to use. Well, no, that was actually this like the superintendent. So I'm leaning on my shovel, BSing with the guy. Thing is, and the superintendent actually called one of the bosses over. He goes, hey, Fuzzy. Was it Fuzzy? He goes, I got a question for you. He goes, is that a worker or a monument? Because I haven't seen anything move except his mouth for half an hour.
I got let go because I kept wanting to change the way they did things.
Let me tell you how this should be done.
Exactly.
I know I've only been here 3 days, but I'm gonna tell you how this should be done.
Exactly. So the foreman came in and said, it's him or me, and
it was
me.
Is that all it takes?
That's what it took.
Todd, it's been 2 years. Andrew Zimdarski.
Andrew, this is great.
It's great having you here, man.
Thanks for having us.
How can we find you?
Yeah, gpsed.org, gpsed.org.
Beautiful.
Thanks
for
what
you're
doing. Check
it out, folks. I think it's fantastic. Kevin Burkle joining us. Back after this.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation. WISS.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee Film Festival Program Director Kirsten Larson and Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison discusses their new lineup. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. The Vatican announcing this morning that Pope Francis has died. He had been hospitalized for more than a month with respiratory issues and was diagnosed with pneumonia. But the Pope was seen just yesterday on Easter Sunday, the balcony of the Vatican. Father John Walk is in Rome with more.
We all watched the Pope give this blessing from the facade, the loggia of St. Peter's Basilica, blessing the city. And the world. In a way, it's a very fitting ending. Obviously, the last act of a papacy is a blessing to the entire world.
ABC News contributor Father James Martin says Francis was the world's first pope from Latin America and routinely met with the poor, with refugees, and with those in war zones.
I just thought he was it was like being with the best parish priest you could imagine. I mean, just warm and funny and inviting and relaxed.
After the pope is buried, the conclave of cardinals will decide on the next pope. This is ABC News. Local.